Welcome to the teachings of Father Al Lauer.
Jesus Christ is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bend, every tongue proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I'm Father Al Lauer, and we're beginning 5 seminars, Life in the Spirit seminars. Now, many of you have gone through the Life in the Spirit seminars. It has been a life-changing event for many of you, but there are many seminars that could help us open up to receive the Holy Spirit, to stir into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to bring up some other seminars, some more Life in the Seminar, Spirit seminars, and these can be used in addition to the, I guess you would say, traditional 7, or in place of the traditional 7, or a combination of replacing or adding. So this should be exciting. Incidentally, this is kind of amazing. At the time of this taping, it will be the day of my 40th anniversary of my confirmation. On this day, 40 years ago, the bishop confirmed me. I did not know it was going to fall on this day. In fact, we had this taping scheduled for another time, and it seemed like God had this all planned. So how wonderful to be able to proclaim new life in the Spirit, how to receive new life in the Spirit on this 40th anniversary. You know, 40 is a big number in the Bible, and so this is exciting. Let's pray right now. Father, we pray that everyone who watches these broadcasts and engages in these seminars will receive the Holy Spirit in super abundance, in fullness, and give the Spirit to others. May we have Pentecost after Pentecost after Pentecost. We pray as your Son taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now, before we get into a first Life in the Spirit seminar, and this will be entitled Pentecost and the Baptismal Promises, we would just like to give you a little idea of the Life in the Spirit seminars in general. These Life in the Spirit seminars have been one of the best tools in the 20th century for leading people to new life in the Holy Spirit. These seminars have been so powerful. I guess they started them around them in the 70s or somewhere in there, late 60s, early 70s. And for almost a generation, these seminars have changed the lives of millions of people around the world. They've just been so anointed by God. One of the greatest tools for leading people to full life in the Spirit, certainly in our 20th century. Now, they've been so successful because they have applied biblical principles so wisely. And over the years, many Christian leaders have continued to let the Holy Spirit work through them and give them a gift of wisdom so that they would be able to minister to people in such a way as to lead them to the Holy Spirit. So over the years, there's been, I guess, adaptations of the Life in the Spirit seminars. There's been new seminars. There's been changes in some seminars. Even the original seminars were adapted to fit into a Catholic context a little bit better than the original ones. And so what we're doing now is the same thing. We are coming up with some new Life in the Spirit seminars. We are not doing something completely different, but we're not doing exactly the same thing. I have been trying to help people have new life in the Spirit for about 20 years. And I've been involved in over 100 Life in the Spirit seminars, Pentecost novenas, and various programs to help people come to full life in the Spirit. So I've been involved in these, and these seminars that I'm going to share with you have been proven as God's way of reaching people and opening them to the Holy Spirit. And so after a 20-year test, which is about as much as one person can test something, how many years you got to live, I just wanted to share these, and I just believe that God will continue to make them quite fruitful for you. Now, what's different about these seminars? Same goal, to lead people to new life in the Spirit, to stir in the flame the gift of the Holy Spirit, to bring about a new Pentecost. Same goal, but some differences. There are going to be a lot more Bible references. There are going to be a lot more references to official church teaching. So someone who really loves the Catholic Church or respects the teaching of the Pope and the magisterium of the church will certainly relate to these seminars. There's going to be much greater emphasis on baptism, the sacrament of reconciliation, and the Eucharist. This is going to be a very sacramental series of seminars. And I believe a lot of times people have been somewhat confused about the Life and the Spirit seminars. They say, is this something over and above our baptism and our confirmation? This saying our baptism and our confirmation really wasn't any good or didn't really do that much? Or what was this all about? Well, here we're going to say this is the focusing of our baptism. And the sacrament of reconciliation is not just something that might be a nice thing. No, it's integrated into opening a person up to the Holy Spirit. And the Eucharist isn't just something on the side. It's the perfect context for opening our hearts and receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, more biblical references. Many references to church teachings and emphasis on the sacraments, especially baptism, sacrament of reconciliation, and Eucharist, and I guess you could say confirmation too. And then there'll be quite a bit of emphasis on the necessity of forgiveness. The original Life and the Spirit seminars and even some of the adaptations have been, I guess you'd say that they really didn't zero in on forgiveness. They might have mentioned you ought to forgive people. That could be a problem in receiving the Holy Spirit if you haven't done that. But here we're going to put a great deal of emphasis on forgiveness. And in my pastoral experience over 20 years, I just see a fantastic need for that. I find when we minister forgiveness to people, when we call them to forgive by God's standards, I'm telling you, the whole world opens up. The heavens break loose. The Holy Spirit comes. Okay, there's going to be a lot more emphasis on Christian community. In the original Life and the Spirit seminars, the emphasis, especially in the last couple of weeks or so, was you ought to continue this in the prayer group. That was very wise because without some kind of continuing sharing and community, it's not going to really work out very well, these Life in the Spirit seminars and our new Life in the Spirit. But obviously the prayer groups haven't really been able to gather the people who've gone through the seminars. Years ago, when a person went through the seminars, maybe half of the people who would go through would go into a prayer group, or even more than that. Now it's very small percentage. But that need for continuation and some kind of community is necessary. We'll get more into Christian community also than you would see in the original seminar that really wouldn't mention Christian community to any great degree. Also, there are videotapes, audio tapes, publications that can be used to supplement the seminars. In fact, you're seeing one of the videos right now. And then the great thing about this, these seminars are very flexible. You can look at these five seminars and say, I think we're just going to go with those five. It's going to be a five seminar program instead of seven, which is a traditional number. Or you could say, I like four out of these five, but I think that first talk on God's love in the original seminar, I think we really need that to lead the way. Or I like that way they present the baptism in the Spirit, new life in the Spirit, but I don't know. I just think there's certain elements in the original seminars that really we got to keep. Okay, fine. There's all kinds of possibilities here. This is quite flexible. I encourage you to follow the format of the original Life in the Spirit seminars, and you can get that from Word of God, Servant Publications, P.O. Box 7455, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48107-7455. The phone is 313-677-6490, 313-677-6490. And then there's a toll-free fax. You need your credit card number in this case, 1-800-315-8505, 1-800-315-8505. Okay, that just gives you a little idea of what we're talking about. Let me give you the title of the titles of the five seminars. First one, Pentecost and the Baptismal Promises. Second one, the Spirit in the Church. Third one, the main requisite for receiving the Spirit. Fourth one, the Spirit, the flesh, and forgiveness. We've mentioned that before. And then the fifth one, receiving a new Pentecost. Or I might even put that in the plural. New Pentecost in the plural. So these are the five titles of the five seminars. Pentecost and the Baptismal Promises, the Spirit and the Church, the main prerequisite for receiving the Spirit. Number four, the Spirit, the flesh, and forgiveness. And five, receiving new Pentecost. Okay, let's get to the first one. And the title is Pentecost and the Baptismal Promises. Let's begin with Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38 and the following. Peter was asked at the very first Christian Pentecost, how do you get into this? How do you get Pentecost? How do you do it? And the answer was, by Peter, to all of us for all times, you must reform, or another translation, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was to you and to your children that the promise was made, and to all those still far off whom the Lord our God calls. So this is a promise God has made to you, a promise to your children, a promise to those who are far off. And what do you need for the Holy Spirit? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the Holy Spirit as promised. Now, we've already been baptized, so how would this apply to us? Renewing our baptisms. The church certainly encourages us to do this. On the most important day, liturgically, of the church's year, Easter Sunday, Easter Vigil, all the churches, Catholic churches in the entire world, every Mass in the entire world, there is the renewal of the baptismal promises. The church says, renewing our baptismal promises, that's so important. We prepare for it with 40 days of Lent. It's so important we put it on Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday. It's so important that we'll have it at every Mass in every Catholic church in the whole world, the most important liturgical day of the year, the beginning of the Easter season. So the church certainly encourages us to do this. And that the church isn't just saying, just do this once a year. The church is saying, this is something we need to do all the time. The Lord has given us new life in baptism. We have become children of God in baptism. We have become heirs of the kingdom of God in baptism. We have had freedom in baptism. We've had victory because of baptism. We live in Christ. He lives in us. We've been baptized into His death, into His resurrection. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened. All the things in our whole life put together don't amount to what happened on our baptism day. Incidentally, I hope you know your baptismal anniversary. That all we got to do is live it. All we got to do is live it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Are you not aware? Aren't you aware that we who have been baptized into Christ and we share in His death and in His resurrection? So the main thing is just to live that baptism, to be aware of that baptism. That takes care of it all. And so renewing our baptismal promises certainly fits into the first Christian Pentecost. Read Acts 2 verse 38. Renewing our baptismal promises is certainly encouraged by the church. This is really Bible ways of receiving the Spirit. Instead of giving our own opinion on how to prepare to receive the Spirit, well, let's just go with what was said at the first Christian Pentecost. Now, we're going to talk about repentance, but we're going to talk right now about these six baptismal promises. Now, the first one is, do you reject Satan? There's a few things we need to look into if we're going to answer that question. I do, which is the answer. Satan is not just some sort of personification of evil. He is not just some sort of symbol. Satan is a creature with personal qualities, a creature who understands things, who has a will, who used to love God, who now hates God, who hates us. A creature with personal qualities. You can see how Satan is not just a personification, but a creature with personal qualities. You can see it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's section 2851. Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2851. So with that in mind, we can ask the question, does Satan know when we're rejecting him? Yeah, he has an intellect. Does he care? Yes, he has a will. He cares. Well, if he knows we're publicly rejecting him, and if he's not happy with it, well, then what might happen? Hatred, anger, vengeance, vindictiveness. Brothers and sisters, if you reject Satan publicly, and you don't do those fourth, fifth, and sixth baptismal promises, believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have picked a fight where you have no protection, and you're going to pay big time for it. If you don't believe in the devil, you reject him publicly, you'll believe in the devil. He'll beat you up, prove himself, prove his existence. The second baptismal promises. Do you reject all of Satan's work? Notice the word all. How many works does he have? If he has two works and you're not interested in most of them, that shouldn't be hard to handle. We'll be glad to reject them. If he's got thousands and thousands of works and you love most of them, rejecting all his works would be like a bomb going off in your life. It would just change everything. It would be a statement that would require extreme grace and courage. Well, I'll tell you what. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, the devil took Jesus up this mountain and said, you see all these kingdoms, all this pleasure, all this power, all this glory? It all belongs to me, and I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. Jesus resisted that temptation. Now, assuming the devil wasn't lying this time, he lies a lot, but any good liar has to tell the truth most of the time. Satan has all kinds of kingdoms, pleasures, powers. He's got hundreds of thousands, even millions of works. And he's picked up some since he attempted Jesus 2,000 years ago. He's picked up a lot of them. Lots of works, lots of works. Are we interested in them? He's not called the father of lies, John 8:44, because he isn't able to attract people to things that are bad for them. That he's not called the father of lies because he's not good at deceiving people. Brothers and sisters, the Pope calls our culture a culture of death. The devil's a prince of death, it says in Hebrews in chapter 2. Does that tell you anything? There are millions of Satan's works, and we have been very much interested, involved in, implicated in these things. So to reject all his works, well, gosh, that's just, how could we do it? Well, let's get to the third one. Third baptismal promise, do you reject all his empty promises? Now, if you know anything about promises, there's more promises than there are works. Your husband promised you this, this, and this, and this. He probably didn't do all of that, maybe a few of that. So there, if you think there's a million works, there's more than a million promises. And see, this is very challenging because maybe you've rejected the work, but not the promise. For example, a lot of people rejected adultery. They said, I'm not going to do that work. That's a work of the devil. I'm not going to do that. But they watch it on TV. I guess they consider it entertaining, maybe promising. Oh, brothers and sisters, rejecting all his promises means rejecting more than works. And rejecting promises that number more than works. How can we do this? Grace. Only by grace. But by grace, we would just have to quit right now and say, forget the whole thing. It's not going to work. There's no way is this going to work. All right. Fourth, fifth, and sixth baptismal promises. Do you believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? It's easy to believe that God's a creator, but to believe that He's your Father, that He adopted you, that is so far out. But it's true. It's amazing. But it is true. How could you believe God's your Father? Only if you say that fifth baptismal promise. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through Him. John 14 and verse 6. The Holy Spirit cries out in our heart, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 verse 6, also Romans 8. Without the fifth and sixth baptismal promises, we can't do the fourth. And we got to do the fourth. That's what it's all about. Jesus came to show us the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit cries out in our heart, Father. You know, the whole thing is about knowing and loving our Father. So we've got to do that fifth baptismal or fourth baptismal promise. And we need the whole Trinity in on this. Fifth baptismal promise, do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord? If you believe He's Son of God, not adopted Son of God or daughter of God as we are, but Son of God by nature, meaning God Himself. Do you believe Jesus is God? Very few people in the world believe that. Out of all these people in the world, you know, like right now there's 5.5 billion people in the world. The Jews don't believe Jesus is God. The Muslims, 1 billion Muslims, they don't believe Jesus is God. Buddhists don't believe Jesus is God. Confucians don't believe Jesus is God. Hindus don't believe Jesus is God. Really, the fact that a lot of Christians, you probably don't believe Jesus is God, or they would worship Him as God, or they would obey Him as God, or they would zealously share the faith in Him. And so, how many people really believe Jesus is God and believe He's Lord, meaning He runs your whole life? Now, that doesn't mean you've slipped up. It means you have made a decision that Jesus is in charge of all. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Well, brothers and sisters, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God, Jesus, Son of God, Lord God? How about the last one? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church? You say, well, who's the Holy Spirit? You say, that's God. I thought you said the Father was God. I thought you said Jesus was God. I say, well, the Holy Spirit's God. I say, well, there's three gods. I say, well, no, there's only one God. I say, wait a minute. One, two, three? You people can't even count. I don't know what's wrong with you people. Say, well, where's the Holy Spirit at? I say, well, He's all over the place. I say, well, where's He at? Is He right around here? I say, yeah, He's inside of me. I say, oh, you mean He's inside of you? Yeah. What's He look like? He must not be very big if He's fit inside of you. I say, well, He's not very big at all. He's invisible. He can fit all over the place. Say, what? You got an invisible person inside of you? Say, yeah, well, I got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit inside of me. Say, boy, you're really weird. You're different. You're really far out. You got invisible people inside of you that seem like they're three, but they're really only one. Okay, you take two of these pills every 3 hours and you come back to see me next week. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you see? Gosh, it sounds so astounding, but the fact of the matter is this is true. This, if you don't believe these baptismal promises, you'll never make sense out of this world. You'll never make sense out of life, out of love, out of family, out of relationships. You'll never make sense out of death and suffering. Life just will be just a total puzzle to you. Okay, brothers and sisters, let's go for it, huh? Let's go for it. Let's renew our baptismal promises. And then, you know, if we aren't right with the Lord, let's confess our sins. Let's not give the devil a chance to really crack down on us. You ready? This is going to open you up. Acts 2:38 says, baptism and then Pentecost. We're renewing our baptismal promises. Coming up Pentecost. First question. We've tried to prepare you as best we could. Do you reject Satan? I do. By the grace of God, I do. Do you reject all? Notice the word all. All His works. I do. Do you reject all? Now there's more of those. His empty promises. I do. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. In the baptismal ceremony, we say, this is the faith of the church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. You said I do 6 times. Some of you got married. You said I do once. You know you can get yourself into an awful lot with an I do or two. And you've gotten yourself into a lot. You've already got into it by virtue of baptism, but now you're saying, Lord, I'm not just going to consider that past history, I'm going to consider that my life right now. This is what I am living in and what I'm living for. And when you have made that commitment, as we said before, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of Pentecost. How do you know that this will prepare us for Pentecost? Because the Bible says so, the church says so, the liturgy says so, our experience over the centuries and across many cultures has said so. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with new Pentecost. We pray and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, alleluia.
You have been listening to Father Al Lauer. Visit our website, presentationministries.com.
Possible.